Sons Ministries, bringing nations into sonship.
Now, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, this is very interesting. It says, these, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Now, they saw the promises through the eyes of faith. Now, it means they believed and they perceived in spirit the promise that God had given unto them. Now, when they died believing, but not having physically obtained or received the promises. But what is it that made them to believe God right until the end of their lives? It is because the Word of God says they had seen the promises from afar off. That means they believed the promises and they also perceived them in spirit. They had seen the promises in spirit and they had received them in spirit. Now, but having seen them afar off, believed and perceived them, were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. Now you can see the Word of God says they were convinced, they were convicted of the promises that God had made to them, and they embraced them. How do you embrace something that you have not received physically? Now it tells you they received the promises in the spirit. Now they believed the promises that God had given them. Number two, they perceived them, they saw them in the spirit. And number three, they were convinced, they were convicted that God was going to do what he had promised them. And number four, they embraced them, they received them. Now, remember, we are dealing with faith in the absence of the tangibles. Faith in the absence of tangible things. Now, this is the kind of faith that is pleasing unto God, that these believers, they died in faith. They died believing God without a doubt for what God had promised them. And the Word of God says, they died not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, being persuaded of them, and they receive them. Now, this is in line with Hebrews 11, verse 1, which says, now, faith is a substance or the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things that are not seen. Things that are not seen physically, that are not seen materially. That's what faith is. And we see this faith demonstrated in these believers in Hebrews 11:13. Now, they had the assurance of the things that they had believed God for, of the things that they hoped for. And they had proof. The Word of God says they embraced them. Now, how do you embrace something that you have not seen, something that you have not received materially or physically? See, my friend, that is through faith. And this is the faith that is pleasing unto God. Faith in the absence of the tangibles. Faith in the absence of the material manifestation or physical manifestation of the things that you are believing God for. However, having fully believed for them, having been fully persuaded, fully convinced, fully convicted of the things that God had promised you. And not only that, but having received these things in the Spirit. Now, this is what we talk about when we're talking about genuine, authentic faith in the Lord and the faith that is pleasing to Him. Remember, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And certainly, these believers did not walk by sight. They did not walk by the things, they did not live their lives by what they saw, by what they heard. They lived their life by faith. Now, what does it mean when it says we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith? Now, this is what it means. life does not consist in the things that are seen. Life does not consist in the things that are seen. Things material, things physical, things tangible. Life does not consist. That's why he says we walk by faith. We walk not by sight. Interesting scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:19. Now he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If in this life only, in this physical, material life, physical, material world, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. That means if we cannot see beyond the physical, see beyond the now, see beyond the immediate, then our faith is in vain. If we cannot see beyond the physical, beyond the now, beyond the immediate, then we are not people of faith. Then we have not believed. Then if we say we are people of faith, that means our faith is in vain. Because faith is the substance, the assurance of things we hope for, the evidence, the proof of things not yet seen, things that have not yet manifested physically, materially, tangibly. That is faith. Now, that's why the author says, if in this life only, in this physical, material world, we have faith in God, then we are to be most pitied. That means if we cannot see beyond the physical, the now, the immediate, then our faith, my friends, it is in vain. And this is not the faith that is pleasing unto God. This is not authentic, genuine faith that comes from the Lord, that comes by the hearing and the hearing of the word of God. Romans chapter 4, well-known portion of scripture concerning the father of faith, our father of faith, Abraham, verses 17, 20, and 21. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, and God who calls those things which do not exist physically, materially, as though they did. God who calls those things that do not exist physically, that do not exist materially, that do not exist tangibly, as though they did. Now, this is very important because he's telling us about the God in whom Abraham believed. Now, faith is of God. Faith comes from God. Now, that means we that are children of God, we ought to be like him in faith. God, he calls those things that do not exist materially, do not exist physically, do not exist tangibly, as though they did. Now, you notice it is only this kind of faith that is pleasing before God, no other kind of faith. Last week I said there's only one faith. That's what the word of God says. There's no other faith. There's only one faith that comes from the Lord. Now, is this kind of faith that is able to please God, that can please God? Only this faith that calls those things that do not exist physically, do not exist materially, do not exist tangibly, as though they already existed. And this is the faith that we are given the example of in Hebrews 11, verse 13, that these people of God, these believers, they died in faith. They believed God. They believed the promises of God. But at the time when they died, they had not physically, materially received the promises, albeit they died in faith. Now, verse 20, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, being fully convicted, fully assured that what God had promised him, God was also able to perform, was able to give to him, was able to do for him. Now, Abraham, he believed, he perceived, and received the promise that God had given him as though it already physically, materially existed. Now, you can see why Abraham was such a friend of God, why Abraham is called the father of faith. He had exactly the same faith of God. He had the God kind of faith. And this is the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples after that he had cursed the tree and it had withered from the roots. They said, Lord, how did this happen? He gave them a very short and crisp answer. Have the faith that God has. The God kind of faith. That's what he said to them. Abraham had the God kind of faith. Because he believed, he perceived, he received the promise as though it had already physically existed. It had already materially manifested. He had the God kind of faith. Now, this is the faith that we call authentic, that we call genuine. This is the faith that we receive when we are born again. This is the faith that we have as believers. This is the faith that comes by the word of God, by the hearing of the word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Now we're dealing with faith in the absence of tangibles, in the absence of tangible things, in the absence of physical or material things. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, number one, the faith that pleases God is faith that believes God and focuses squarely on God. Now, notice, faith is first and foremost unto God. When we believe God, first and foremost unto God before his promises. First and foremost unto God before what God can do for us. First and foremost unto God before what God can give us. See, my friends, this is faith. Faith is about God. Faith leads us towards God. Now, the faith that pleases God is faith that believes God and focuses squarely on him. Because he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Because he who comes to God must believe that God is first and foremost. And number two, faith that pleases God is the faith that is the assurance of the proof of things not yet seen, or things not yet in the material realm. Now, that's why he says, and must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith that pleases God is faith that is the assurance, that is the proof of things that are not yet seen, things that are not yet in the material realm. Now, to this effect, Ephesians 1, verse 3, amplified. Now, he says, blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, understand something. That's why the Lord of God says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof of things not yet seen. Why not yet seen? Because the things of God are in the spirit. The promises of God are in the spirit. What you are believing God for, it is first and foremost in the spirit. That's why he says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But where is the blessing? It is in the heavenly realm. Now, it is through faith. in God first and foremost, that we are able to receive what God has promised us, which is in the Spirit. It is not in the material realm. It is not in the physical realm. It is in the spiritual realm. We have to understand that faith is spirit. Now, it is by faith, it is through faith that we are able to access what God has promised us. Because what God has promised us, it is first and foremost in the spirit realm. Now, that's why what God has promised us, because it's in the spirit realm, it can only be accessed by faith. That's why faith is the evidence, it is the proof of things that are not yet seen. If they are not yet seen, where are they? In the spirit realm. That's exactly what Ephesians 1:3 is telling us. Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. We are already blessed. It's past tense. It's a done deal. God has done it. Who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That's why, my friends, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't live our life of faith by the things we see, by the things we hear, by the things we can touch. Because what has been promised us is in the spirit realms. We are already blessed with every blessing with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, in the spirit realms. You know, if we can understand this, you will see why faith that pleases God is faith in the absence of tangibles, is faith in the absence of any physical manifestation, because faith is spirit. We use faith to access things that have already been given to us. We are already blessed with every spiritual blessing. But where are these blessings? Where are these promises? Where are these things that God has already given us? They are rightfully ours. They are in the spirit realm. Now, we require faith to access them. But let us not forget that faith is first and foremost to God. He who comes to God must believe that he is. Faith that pleases God is first and foremost to God. And it is faith that focuses on God squarely. And when that happens, everything else will fall into place. It's easy to believe God to do something for you when we have first and foremost believed in God himself. And this is the faith that is pleasing unto the Lord. Now let us look at number three, faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11 verses 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, or when he was of age, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, number three, faith that pleases God is faith that chooses and identifies with God rather than things. Faith that chooses and identifies with God rather than with things. Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now notice that Moses was in Pharaoh's royal house. He was wined and dined like royalty. He was waited on hand and foot like royalty. He was in the upper echelon of power. He was in the high society in Egypt. But the word of God says it clearly here. It says, by faith, Moses' eyes began to open. He began to see through the eyes of faith. Now, when we see through the eyes of faith, we see in the spirit realms. He saw beyond the pomp and the ceremony. He saw beyond the luxury. He saw beyond the pleasure. But Moses could not see this until by faith and through faith. Why? Because faith does not focus on the material realm. It does not focus on the material world. That's why we walk not by sight. We live by faith. If we live by faith, we see beyond. Now, this is the faith that is pleasing unto God. Now, Moses, what made Moses to choose lack over plenty? It's because in the plenty, there was no God. God was not in it. Moses, he chose to suffer than the joy. Why? Because God was not in the joy. God was not in the pleasure. Oh, friends, we are talking today about authentic, genuine faith in the absence of tangible things. What do you do? What do you do when you say you are a believer, but you do not have the things that you are believing God for? You do not have the things that you are trusting God for. And when you look around you, it would seem like time is passing you by, like people are passing you by, like everything is passing you by, like the world is passing you by. What do you do? Faith in the absence of material, physical, tangible things. Now, this is what we call genuine faith, authentic faith that stands the test of time, faith that comes from God. And this is the faith that is pleasing unto him. Now, let's go back to our scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 13. Now he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off. Now you can see that people of faith, they see beyond the material realm. We children of God, we see beyond the physical, the material realm. Now people of faith, they look not on the immediate, but they look on the ultimate. On the promises of God, understanding that the promises of God are in the spirit realm. They are not in the physical realm. You see, my friends, everything that we see manifesting itself in the material, physical realm, it has first manifested in the spirit realm. You can have nothing from God if it had not first and foremost been done in the spirit realm, been released in the spirit realm for you. Now he says, these they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Now they saw them through the eyes of faith. Now you can see that faith has got sight. Faith is not blind. Faith is not blind believing. Faith is not blind following. That is not faith. Faith, the true, authentic faith that comes from God, has got sight. He says, they saw the promises afar off. And they were convinced, they were persuaded. And not only that, they embraced them. They received them. Now, this is the confidence they had. Now, you notice that faith is a confidence in God. Faith is unshakable confidence in God. You are confident because of what you had seen in the spirit. That's why you become unshakable. That's why you become immovable. What God has spoken to you about, what God has promised you, what God has revealed to you, my friend. You see, nobody else can understand that. And these believers, they could not be shaken otherwise. They stood right till the end, believing God and believing what God had promised them. Hebrews 11, 26. Moses thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. Now notice, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. He saw something. He was looking ahead to his great reward. People of faith, they see beyond. We walk not by sight. We walk not by the things we see. There is something that we have seen. We are not bold for nothing. We are not confident for nothing. There is something that is promised us that we have perceived in the spirit that has been shown to us and that has been released to us. That's why the word of God says, imitate those who through faith and patience, they obtain the promises. Now, this is not blind following. This is not blind believing. Something has got to be revealed to you. The Christian life is a life of revelation. What makes you confident? What makes you so assured? What makes you immovable? What makes you unshakable? It is because of what has been revealed to you. God convinces you. He convicts you of what he promises you. Hallelujah. And that is why the word of God says Abraham did not waver through unbelief. He didn't. There's something that he saw in the spirit. There's something that he saw through the eyes of faith. My friend, what have you seen? What has God revealed to you? You see, that's the thing that is supposed to make you so confident. That is the thing that should make you not listen to any voice that is contrary to what you have been shown. You ought not to live your life by the standard of this world. You ought not to go by the current of this world. You have to go against the grain. You have to go against the current of this world. Why? Because the things of God are in the spirit. The things of God are in the spirit realm. And what is in the spirit realm is contrary to what is in the physical realm, and vice versa. Faith is the substance, the assurance of what we hope for, the evidence, the proof of things. We have proof of things that are not yet, that are not yet revealed, that are not yet seen, that are not yet visible, but we have seen them through the eyes of faith in the spirit realms. Because we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Genesis 39, verses 7, 10 to 12. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and ran outside. Now, what made Joseph to refuse the advances of Potiphar's wife? Faith. It is faith. Notice the word of God says the same thing in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11, it talks about faith. It was faith that made Joseph to refuse her, to refuse the overtures, to refuse the advances. Why? Because Joseph, he looked beyond the thrill of the moment. You see, my friend, it's only a person of faith who's able to look beyond. Because there's something that has been revealed to them. They have seen something in the spirit realms. Joseph, he looked beyond the thrill of the moment. As a result, he was able to refuse. He was able to withstand the temptation that was coming to him. Now notice, this was not once off. This was day by day, the word of God says. Joseph, he looked beyond the immediate to the ultimate promise. What God has promised you, are you able to look beyond the immediate? You see, friends, that's why God has given us promises. And these promises are to help us to look beyond what is happening in the now, to look beyond what is happening in our immediate surroundings and circumstances, but to focus, to keep our gaze on what God has promised us. The word of God says, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There's something that was revealed to him. He had a revelation of what was coming. The promise of God strengthened him. He was able to endure the suffering of the moment. Joseph refused to exchange the promise of God for immediate pleasure. Joseph, he refused to do a trade-off. Trade off with the devil. You see, my friends, when Satan comes to tempt you, you see, he's trying to do a trade-off with you. He's trying to rob you of the promises. He's trying to rob you of the blessings. He's trying to rob you of your future and the destiny that God has got in store for you. This is exactly what he was trying to do with Joseph. To rob him of the promises of God, to rob him of the blessings of God, to rob him of the future that God has shown him, to rob him of the destiny that God had revealed to him. Now, this is the goal of temptation to all of us. We need to understand why we're tempted. We need to understand why the devil is bombarding us with the pleasures of sin, with the pleasures of this world, with the appetites and the desires of the things of this world. You see, my friend, when you take a bite of that bait, you've just traded off God's promises for you, God's blessings for you, God's future for you, God's destiny for you. Now, we people of faith, we need not walk by sight by the things that we see, the things that are appealing to us in the immediate. Joseph refused. Potiphar's wife, because he considered the promise of God. Now, understand that we need to focus on the word of God, on what the Lord is saying to you as an individual, what the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to you. For when you do that, then you will be able to resist any temptation that comes. It's a question of focus. It's an issue of focus. Refuse to focus on the things that are tempting you on a day-to-day basis. Refuse. Why? Because you know what God has said to you. You know what God has promised you. You know what God has revealed to you. Let's look at the man Job, chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Job 1, 9 to 11. Now Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and Job will surely curse you to your face." Now Satan knows that few people trust God in the absence of tangible things. The devil knows that. That's why he went to try to bargain with the Lord concerning Job. He says, "Does Job, Lord, fear you for nothing? Is it not because you have blessed him? Is it not because this man is increasing on every side? Is it not because you have protected him?" Now, the devil knew that very few people trust God in the absence of tangible things, of material things, of things that God does for them. Very few people trust God in the absence of the blessings of God. That's why the devil approached God, because he knew that. You see, my friend, but the devil was so wrong, because Job was the man who first and foremost who believed God, who trusted in God. Job proved that his only confidence was in the Lord and not in the blessings of the Lord. You see, our faith should not be in the things that God is giving us, the things that God is doing for us. Our faith should be in God, who is the giver of the blessings that we enjoy. We shouldn't be there to follow God for things, But we should be there to follow God for God. And such was the case of Job. Job did not follow God for the thing that God had done for him. He didn't follow God for the many blessings of God that were in his life. And he proved this, that he followed God for God. His faith was in the Lord and not in things. It would be that a lot of people today, their faith is not in God. Even though they go to church, even though they go to churches, even though they follow ministers, but they are not following them for God. They are following them for things. It is their appetite for things, their insatiable appetite for things. It is their greed, their avarice for things that is causing them to go to churches, to go from one church to another, to follow ministers. But it's not because they want God. So many people are flocking churches. So many people, they fill churches, big crowds of people. But my friend, do not be deceived. Even the devil knows this. That's why he tried this with Job. He knows that very few people trust God in the absence of tangible things. He knew that, and we shouldn't be those people. The faith that is pleasing to God, it is faith first and foremost in God. Christ Jesus told the disciples, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Abraham believed in the God who calls those things that be not, that be physically, that be materially not, as though they already were, as though they already existed. See, my friend, but first and foremost, he believed in the God who is able to do everything for him. Hallelujah. Now we notice that everyone has faith in God for as long as they have and in good times. Everybody. Everybody. And Job proved the devil wrong. Even after he was stripped of everything, he still had faith in God. He still honored God. He still blessed the name of the Lord. But how many people would do the same thing? People would say, what's the use? I lost everything. Where was God? Why did he not protect me? When I was losing things, where was God? And this is this, a lot of people are talking like this. Say, where is God? That's why they start following after strange gods, things that are not God at all, because they are questioning God. You see, my friend, it just tells you that their faith was not genuine. Their faith was not authentic. Their faith was not true. Their faith was not pure in the first place. Faith is not dependent on physical, material, tangible things. But I say it again. Faith is not dependent on physical, material, tangible things, my friend. See, that is faith. It's not dependent on these things. That's why Job could still stand unshakably in his faith towards God. Because faith is independent of the promises of God, it's independent of the blessings of God, it's independent of what God can do for you. The object of faith is God and God alone. The object of faith, the subject and the object of faith is God and God only. Mark chapter number 10. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and he said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, this was the rich young ruler. Now, this is the young man who had told Jesus that he had kept the law, he had kept the word of God. This is the young man who knew scriptures and told Jesus confidently that he had kept every portion, every part of the law. And then, of course, as Jesus, he looked at him and he loved him and he said, young man, you lack but one thing. What is the one thing that he lacked? He lacked faith in God. Why? Because his faith was in his possessions, in his great possessions, but not in God. Now you can see the difference between this young man and Job. And the word of God says, Christ said, come and follow me. And the word of God says, this young man, he went away from Jesus sorrowful. He did not follow him. And the Lord was exposing his lack of faith in God. You see, my friends, it would be that a lot of us Christians, we are full of scriptures, but minus faith. We are full of the word, but we don't have faith. This young man, he knew the scriptures. He could rattle down the law to Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. But he had no faith in God. You see, the many scriptures that you have, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have faith in God. And this is an example of someone who knew the scriptures, someone who kept the law, and yet he lacked faith. The Lord said, you lack but one thing. You lack but one thing. And it's amazing. He says, I've kept these things. Remember that, of course, says, anything that is not of faith is sin. Anything that is not of faith. It's possible to have scriptures, to know scriptures, to have memorized scriptures and have done all of these things and yet have no faith in God. And faith is proven by its actions. This is the young man who lacked faith, who had no faith in God. But his faith was in his possessions. The Lord says, sell everything, give the proceeds to the poor, and come and follow me. He had no faith in Christ, none whatsoever. His confidence, his trust was not in the God of heaven. His confidence, his trust was in things, material, physical, tangible things. This is where most Christians are at. They go to churches not because they are looking for God. They go to churches not because they are seeking for God. They go to churches because they are pushed by their own needs. They are pushed by their own greed. They follow God because they want God to do something for them. And they keep following and they're not receiving anything. That's why even charlatan churches and charlatan ministers, they are taking advantage of them. They are told, give this amount of money and this is what is going to come to you. Give this amount of money and this is what is going to happen to you. Give this, give that, and you're going to have this. And to their disappointment, they have not received anything. Because you see, my friend, that is not the gospel. The gospel is not a bartering enterprise. It is not bartering. It's not selling and buying in the gospel. Gospel is not some business zone where people come to trade, where people come to place their bets. You're not betting. People are being lied to. Give this, you're going to receive that. Give this amount of money, you're going to receive this amount of money, or you're going to receive this thing or that thing. No, my friend, that is not faith. Faith, authentic, genuine faith, is first and foremost to God. That even when you are stripped of everything that you have, your faith will remain. You see, my friend, that's why the word of God says, at the end of everything, everything is going to go up in smoke, but one thing will remain, it is faith. That's why the word of God says, now remains faith, hope, and love. Everything else will go. Everything else will go. The money that you are pursuing so hard will go. Your degrees will go. Your academic qualifications will go. Your possessions will go. Your properties will go. Your businesses will go. Everything will go. These things are a trap. They are causing people not to be able to believe God for God. They want things. They want to use the Lord. You see, my friend, God cannot be mocked. That's what the Word of God says. We are dealing today with authentic, genuine faith in the absence of tangible things. This is the faith that is pleasing to God. Everything is going to pass away. Everything is going to go. Everything is going to be rolled away. One thing will remain: faith in God. Will you be standing when the Son of Man comes again? Will he find you standing in the faith? Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now, Abraham proved once and for all his absolute faith in God in the absence of tangible things. Now, God still tested him because Isaac meant the world to Abraham. This is the promise that he had been waiting for such a long time from the Lord. Now, even when he has received this promise that he had waited for such a long time, God still had to test him. Abraham, are you still going to be so faithful before me? Are you still going to walk faithfully and obediently before me, with or without Isaac? And Abraham, he proved once and for all that with or without Isaac, God was God to be followed. With or without Isaac, God was God to be believed and not to be doubted. God still tested him. God tested him, said, "Abraham, I'm going to take the only thing that means the world to you. I'm going to take the only thing that is so precious in your sight." And the word of the Lord says, Abraham, he actually had done it. He had killed his son, because it says, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. That means Abraham, in the spirit, he already slew his own son. That's why God stopped him. God who searches the hearts of men, God who sees the hearts of men, God knew that in his heart he already did it. With or without things, to Abraham, God was God. With or without things, to Job, God was God. With or without things, the believers of Hebrews 11, verse 13, God was God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he who comes to him must first and foremost believe that God is, and second most, believe that he's a rewarder of those that believe him. Rewarder, talking about the promises of God. The promises of God. John 6, 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, the Lord is rebuking people who are seeking God for material things. He says, "You're not following me because you saw the mighty signs that were done, the mighty signs that were done through faith in God. No, you're not interested in God, but you're interested in materialism. You are interested in material things. You are interested in what God can do for you. You are interested in what you can receive from God. You are interested in the blessings of God. You are interested only in the promises of God, but you've got no business to do with the Lord." You see, my friends, it does not mean that the things that God has promised, they are false, they are not true. It does not mean that the promises of God are not real. They are very real. The blessings of God are very real. But you see, my friend, faith has got order. The order of faith is such that, number one, it is first and foremost God. And secondly, the promises of God. But you see, you believe God for God. And believe that what he has promised you, he will do for you. What God has promised in his word, he will do for you. The blessings he has promised you in his word, he will do for you. But you see, faith has got order. That's why people are running for the blessings, are running for the promises of God. As a result, they end up with nothing. That's why a lot of people are saying, this Christianity does not work. This faith thing does not work. This church thing does not work. You see, my friend, problem is you are misguided, seriously misguided. You are looking for things from God without a relationship with him. It doesn't work that way. God is not a supermarket that you walk into and you just begin to pick anything that you want. You need to have a relationship with God. That's the order of faith. That's the order of faith. God is not Walmart. God is not Macro in South Africa. Macro. Looking, seeking for the things of God without having a relationship with him. This is the thing that the Lord was rebuking the people. Jesus, our Lord, was rebuking the people very seriously and very harshly. Says, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. They were seeking God for material things, for material reasons. They've got millions of people in the world over that are filling up churches because they are following after material things. They are not following after God. Got millions of people in the world over. They are following ministers of the gospel, not because they are seeking for after God, but because they are seeking after things. Even this God knows them. That's why he says, I know my sheep. I know those who are mine. God knows those who are his. And it is those that are his that inherit the blessings, inherit the promises that God has given them. There's no hook or crook in the spirit. There's no hook or crook in the things of God. God indeed cannot be mocked, friends. Let me wind up this message by this beautiful passage, Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Now he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now understand something. This is a declaration of faith in the absence of things. The prophet is declaring his faith in the absence of things, in the absence of food, in the absence of work, in the absence of business, in the absence of money. He says, in the absence of any material thing that this world can offer, God is my God and he will always remain my God. This is a statement of faith. A statement of faith in God in the absence of tangible things, in the absence of material, physical things. What a great scripture. What a great passage of scripture. That is a declaration of faith in God. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, Lord, though there be no fruit on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no head in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He says, I will rejoice. I will not complain. I will rejoice. I will not blame God. I will rejoice. I will not accuse God. I will rejoice. I will not complain.
I will rejoice. I will not blame God. I will rejoice. I will not accuse God. How many believers, when they don't have, they complain, they blame, and accuse God? How many believers, when they don't have, they complain, they blame, and accuse God? The prophet is saying, as for me, even if everything can be stripped off from me, even if this world cannot give me anything, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is a statement of faith. Hannah did not have a child for a long time. When he prayed, eventually said, Lord, give me a male child. And this male child, Father, I will dedicate him back to you when you give him to me. And true to her prayer, God gave her a baby boy. And true to her promise, Hannah took the child, baby Samuel, back to the house of the Lord and say, Lord, this is the thing that for the longest of time in my life I've been longing for and I've been waiting for. Now, Lord, that you've given me, I want to prove to you that you are still Lord in my life, with or without a child. And Hannah gave the child back to the Lord, and Hannah remained childless again. Faith in the absence of tangible things. That's faith we're talking about. The faith of Hannah. The faith of Prophet Habakkuk. The faith of the believers of Hebrews 11 verse 13. Faith, authentic, genuine faith in the Lord. The faith of Job in God. The faith of Joseph. The faith of Moses. The faith of Abraham. Oh, my friend, your faith. God is waiting for your faith today. These friends, they've already run their race. Now it's you and I that are running our own race of faith. Faith, my friends. When everything around you does not make sense, when everything around you is failing, when everyone around you is failing you, when people begin to reject you, when people begin to say wrong things about you, what are you going to do, my friend? As a child of God, you need to have authentic, genuine faith in the absence of people, faith in the absence of things. This is the faith that is pleasing unto the Lord. What are you going to do when your company falls? What are you going to do when they serve you with retrenchment package? What are you going to do when you are being served with an eviction notice? What are you going to do when you lose everything suddenly in a disaster? What are you going to do, my friends? You see, faith is independent of things. Job suffered loss, not just material loss, and not just financial loss, but he suffered loss of life. Now, come to think of that. Come to think of that. And this is the man who still says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessing God when he had everything and blessing God when he had nothing. You see, this is faith. Blessing God when you have, blessing God when you have none. Faith in the absence of things. Some of us, we bless God when we have a vehicle. When the vehicle is taken away, then we don't bless God. Then suddenly God is a bad God. Then suddenly God is deaf. Suddenly God is dull of hearing. That's not authentic, genuine, true, pure faith of a Christian, of a child of God. When he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Things will come to shake. Things will come to shake. To shake what can be shaken. You see, my friend, the shaking is divine. You cannot do anything about it. You cannot run away from it. You cannot stop it. None of us can do it. Things that will be shaken will be shaken. The shaking will come to shake things that should be shaken, so that those things that cannot be shaken should remain. This is what the word of the Lord says. When you have faith in God, everything else will fall into place. Don't worry. He who comes to God must first and foremost believe that God is. And that is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. You see, the one who rewards is God. Have faith in God, everything else will fall into place. Have faith in God, everything else will become God's responsibility, not your responsibility. Our duty of faith is first and foremost to God. Our duty of faith is first and foremost to believe God. To have the God kind of faith.
Were you inspired by this message? Well, you can always join us at 5B London Lane, Park Central, Selby, Johannesburg for our Sunday services at 9 a.m., Monday prayer and Wednesday services at 7 p.m. For further inquiries, contact us on 067-230-0263 or 067-232-7348. Like us on Facebook at Kingdom of Sons Ministries. Catch us on Twitter at KOSM_world. Follow us on Instagram at KOSM_world. Also, to see more faith-building content, log on to our website at kosm.co.za. Download our app on Google Play or Apple App Store by searching for Kingdom of Sons Ministries. Till we meet again, God bless you.